There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
With arthritis affecting millions of people worldwide, one in five people here in the UAE, we're taking a look now at what preventative measures can be taken. Numbers from the Gulf region suggest that the prevalence is 20% of the population. And not only that, but the number of people aged over 50 is expected to double by 2020, and the burden of musculoskeletal diseases is also expected to rise. And these conditions are a leading cause of absence from work and account for 20% of health claims. Now, Dr. Homaira Badshah, consultant rheumatologist and founding member of the board of directors at the Emirates Arthritis Foundation, is here to take us through it. And we'll also be crossing live to Dr. Muthanna Al-Ubaidi, consultant in paediatric and adolescent rheumatology at Great Ormond Street in London. If you or someone you know is suffering from arthritis, send in your story and your questions to both doctors now. You can call us in the studio on 04 423 1010. You can message on the Dubai Eye app, download it if you haven't already got it, or text in 4001. Hello and welcome, Dr. Badshah.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. Now, arthritis really is such a misunderstood disease. Now, take us through what it is and the different types of arthritis that are the most prevalent. I think there's more than 100 types, isn't there?
That's right. So we have about 200 joints in our body, and arthritis can affect any joint. The most common type, which most people would have heard about, is osteoarthritis, which is the degenerative or wear and tear type of arthritis. And that affects older people, obviously. So as you mentioned, with the numbers of older people set to double over the next few years, we're going to see more and more of osteoarthritis. But there are about 100 types of inflammatory arthritis. In this group, we will see viruses, which can cause arthritis. So parvovirus is a common one. It can affect children. It can affect school teachers who are exposed to little kids. And you can get an acute swelling and tenderness in your joints. But usually that's soft or short-lived. It doesn't last for more than 3 to 6 months and it's gone away. Then people who travel to India or some parts of the United States can also get a virus called chikungunya virus. Very painful virus with lots of swelling in the joints and lasts up to 6 months. Lyme disease is a type of arthritis. It comes from a tick bite. And many people in certain parts of the United States and Europe, especially in wooded areas, can have this. So if you've traveled there, you've gone hiking in the woods and were bitten by a tick, you could get Lyme disease. But besides that, gout, you've heard of gout. Gout is a type of arthritis and it's caused by high uric acid in the blood. So, that affects many people. It's very common. Actually, it's the commonest type of inflammatory arthritis. Then there's a whole group of autoimmune arthritis, which as a rheumatologist, the commonest type we treat. And of course, we treat a lot of gout and osteoarthritis as well.
So this is called rheumatoid arthritis.
Rheumatoid, and then cousins, I like to say, of rheumatoid, which are psoriatic, which is associated with a skin condition called psoriasis, ankylosing spondylitis, which affects the back, inflammatory bowel disease-associated arthritis. This is so many types.
It's mind-boggling, really. I mean, you just wonder whether a pain in the joints really is arthritis. And this is something that has led to a lot of misdiagnosis of arthritis over time, hasn't it?
Right. This is a big problem for us because the earlier we diagnose arthritis, the better for us. So suppose you have pain in the knee because you overdid it at the gym or you ran for like 20 miles or whatever, did an unexpected activity. You would expect to have some pain in the joint, even swelling maybe, but that should usually resolve pretty fast. It should resolve within 5 to 7 or 10 days. But if you have long-lasting pain in a joint associated especially with swelling, warmth, stiffness in the morning, you should see a rheumatologist because those all are signs of arthritis.
Because sometimes we think, I work so hard, it's just a repetitive strain injury.
Exactly.
And so then you would need to see a rheumatologist to find out whether it's just that or...
Or it's arthritis of many different types, shoulder injuries, knees. But if these are persistent, lasting more than a couple of weeks, they should be seen and you shouldn't be self-treating. A lot of people just buy anti-inflammatories, take them, and they self-treat. And back pain is one big thing. So people sit a lot and then they think, oh, my back hurts because I sit a lot. But there is a particular type of back pain which is worse after sitting or sleeping, and you wake up with stiffness in the morning, or you get out of your chair and you're almost like an older person and you can't walk, you're stiff in your back. And that's something called spondyloarthritis or ankylosing spondylitis, big long terms. But these are inflammatory conditions of the back, and unfortunately, if they're not recognized early, it leads to a lot of deformity and damage in the back, including a horrible thing called bamboo spine, where the spine becomes rigid and fused. And it affects young men in their 20s. So it's very important to, if you have persistent back pain which lasts long, you should be seen and evaluated for arthritis.
Because this is something, it's a disease that we associate with getting older. We
exactly.
usually see older people with arthritis, but you're saying, I mean, what's the youngest that somebody can get arthritis?
Yeah, children, babies, 1 year old. Yeah, you can get juvenile arthritis affecting young people. But most of our common types of arthritis, we commonly see 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds getting rheumatoid arthritis, which is then not juvenile. It's an adult arthritis, but they get it as soon as they turn 18 or 19. I just had a patient, a young girl, and she's just 18, just started college, and she has horrible rheumatoid arthritis. But she came very early, and she's in remission within a month of treatment. So it's great.
I want to come to how important it is to spot arthritis early in terms of effective treatment. But let's just go through. You've gone through some of these already. But in terms of the symptoms of arthritis, we're talking about swelling, pain, stiffness.
Yes, these are all signs of inflammation, actually. So when a joint gets inflamed, the cells inside the joint release fluid and the joint gets swollen. And that swelling and the inflammatory fluid, and we call them cytokines, which are these inflammatory chemicals in the fluid, it causes this pain and warmth and swelling and sometimes even redness of the joint in certain cases.
And this can be mild or severe.
Yeah. So it may be subtle. So if you're looking only for swelling, you may not see it. So the key is persistent pain is not something to be ignored. You know, you should be seen. You may not really pick up the swelling or the warmth, whatever, but you need to be seen if you have persistent pain.
Okay. So we've gone through some of the types of arthritis that you can see. Take us through, in terms of understanding, you know, when you've got arthritis, how early can you actually treat it? What can you do? Is there ever a cure for it?
Well, cure is a hard word because in medicine we hardly cure anything, not even the common cold. Things just cure themselves sometimes. Yeah, but we can definitely treat it. There are many effective treatments. There's been a huge increase in the numbers of treatments available. About 100 years back, we didn't even have aspirin available. But now we have drugs called biological drugs. We have new generation targeted immunotherapies. So there's many medications and treatments available. But the key is, the faster we treat, the faster the person goes into remission, and there's a chance for cure. By cure, we define cure as we're able to take you off medication and you stay off medication and you're fine. So it's all about, the key is early treatment. If you come to us within 6 months of symptom onset, we call that early, and then we can actually put you into remission and cure you, hopefully. A small percentage of people can actually be cured and come off treatment.
Okay, so don't ignore it, basically, is the advice. And so when the joint system symptoms of osteoarthritis, they're mild or they're moderate, what are the kind of things that you can do to manage that kind of thing?
So osteoarthritis is wear and tear, and that's the natural process of our body breaking down or, you know, degenerating. But the key thing is exercise. So the stronger your muscles supporting your joint, the better off for you. And I think in the previous segment, we talked about fitness and how important it is to exercise. And people really underestimate it. They think that the moment they have pain, they need to rest and baby the joint, and then they get weaker and weaker in the joint. So just talking about knee pain, for instance, people say, oh, but I go for a walk for 1 hour or half an hour. And that's great. You're going for a walk for half an hour. But you need to do targeted muscle strengthening exercise for that knee. So you need to work out with certain exercises specifically to strengthen the quadriceps and the hamstrings.
We are speaking to Dr. Homaira Badcha. She is consultant rheumatologist and founding member of the board of directors at the Emirates Arthritis Foundation. She is here to take your questions on arthritis, any type of arthritis. We've just established there are so many different kinds that can affect anybody really at any age. Eye on Health on Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Dubai Today.
Coming back to our discussion on arthritis, we've got with us here Dr. Homaira Badcha, consultant rheumatologist and founding member of the board of directors at the Emirates Arthritis Foundation. She is taking us through this condition, which manifests itself in so many different ways. It's fascinating and incredible discussion. A lot of people affected by this. Now, we just finished a discussion all about exercise. Right. That you were listening to in the studio, Doctor. And this is part of the problem, that a lot of exercise can, in fact, lead to osteoarthritis. And Carla has actually texted in. She said, I just got a diagnosis for osteoarthritis. The course of treatment is 3 injections per knee of Supplicin. Is that right? Supplicin?
Yes.
How effective is this course of treatment and how long does it last? She says, I have been doing CrossFit classes and she ran for years, which she thinks was the cause for the wear and tear.
Right. So let's take her question on the hyaluronic acid, which is also called Supplicin, for osteoarthritis. These injections are given directly into the knee and basically it acts like a lubricant or cushioning for the knee. So it's not actually curing the problem, but it can be used for treatment. It does relieve symptoms and can last up to 6 months if it works. In most cases, it does work. There's also other newer treatments available now. There's platelet-rich plasma, where we actually can take out your blood, spin it down, remove the red blood cells, and the plasma is injected into the knee. This plasma has platelets, which release growth factors and help to sort of decrease inflammation and stimulate healing in the knee. It doesn't actually grow back your cartilage. And stem cells are now coming in as injections into the knee, where you take out your fat, you also isolate the stem cell and then inject it into the knee. So there are many different kinds of treatment available now for osteoarthritis of the knees, and all of them are quite effective now.
Because this is a part of the problem, you know, wanting to exercise but not overdoing it. This is a question asking here. Can you explain more on what seronegative RA is?
Right. So as I said, there are about 100 types of arthritis which are inflammatory in nature, and some of them are autoimmune diseases. One of the main types of autoimmune diseases is rheumatoid arthritis. And in rheumatoid arthritis, there's swelling and tenderness of the small joints of the hands and feet. And in 70% of patients, their blood will show a positive rheumatoid factor or CCP test. So some patients, about 30-40%, do not show these tests up on their blood. And hence, they have this sort of seronegative arthritis. That means your serum is negative for the tests.
Okay. Brian has texted in saying, green tea has cured the arthritis in my fingers.
Okay.
He wants your comments on this.
Yeah, right. So certain early types of osteoarthritis, if it's wear and tear.
What's arthritis, first of all?
I think it means arthritis.
Okay.
It might have been
I just
autocorrect.
Thought it might have been a type of arthritis. So I was just going with it.
So I think there's some benefits to various types of supplements in early osteoarthritis, especially of the fingers.
Okay.
Glucosamine and chondroitin, which is from shellfish, green tea, turmeric capsules, and omega oils. All of these can help with pain and inflammation for osteoarthritis of the fingers. Not so much for autoimmune.
We hear so many good things about turmeric. Prevention and arthritis, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. I mean, it sounds like an amazing...
Yeah, it's really amazing because I use it for my patients who have osteoarthritis because we don't want to put them on long-term painkillers. So about 1,000 milligrams per day, it can take care of mild levels of pain, but not very severe, but it really works for inflammation and pain. And a lot of people take it long-term to keep their inflammation levels low. It works.
So you can get a supplement, is that right?
Yeah. So the supplement is the concentrated form of curcumin, which is the turmeric.
Okay. All right. And so it's a good idea just to take that.
Yeah, you can take that. If you have mild pain, you can take it. But make sure you know what you're treating and not self-treating.
That's the thing I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, we put it in our cooking. We love to put turmeric in, you know, rice dishes and that kind of thing. But that amount probably isn't enough, is it?
Yes. And also I find, or I believe, that the turmeric we use commercially now in cooking is not really pure enough. It's contaminated, or it has a lot of artificial colors and stuff. And, you know, some people actually buy the turmeric root, dry it, grind it themselves. But still, it's not. You have to have a high quantity or concentration of this.
So. Okay, that's really good to know. Anjana is asking, can yoga help prevent arthritis?
Yes, definitely. We really believe in yoga. We've done a study out of the UAE looking at rheumatoid arthritis patients who did yoga, and they had huge benefits compared to a different group of patients who did regular exercise. Because with yoga, it is more the low impact strengthening exercises, and there's also the relaxation aspect, which takes care of the stress, which leads to increase in autoimmune diseases. So definite benefits with yoga.
We are currently speaking to Dr. Homaira Bacha, consultant rheumatologist and founding member of the board of directors at the Emirates Arthritis Foundation. This is Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is Dubai Today.
We've got with us Dr. Homaira Bacha, consultant rheumatologist and founding member of the board of directors at the Emirates Arthritis Foundation. We are talking arthritis, the symptoms, the treatment. We'll get to diet and supplements in just a moment, how that can impact how you experience the condition. But right now, we are crossing live to Dr. Muthanna Al-Obaidi, pediatric rheumatology consultant at Great Ormond Street Hospital in London. Hello, Dr. Al-Obaidi.
Hello. Good morning. Hi. Hi, Sally. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you are a specialist when it comes to juvenile arthritis. A rundown of the causes and the symptoms, the warning signs.
Okay. So basically, juvenile idiopathic arthritis is by its name, it's arthritis, inflammation of the joints, and inflammation means when the joint can become swollen, hot, and tender with limited movement. The juvenile idiopathic arthritis is a specific type of arthritis that can affect children before their 16th birthday. It can affect one or more joints. And the juvenile idiopathic arthritis, or we call it JIA, is slightly more common in girls, and it's most commonly occurs sort of in preschool age children and also in teenagers. There are different type of juvenile idiopathic arthritis, and it's important to know the type first, you know, to have an idea about how you're going to manage them and to have an idea about what's going to happen in the future. In terms of what causes JIA, well, it's the term, so from its name, it's called idiopathic, and idiopathy means we do not completely understand what causes JIA. However, what we do know is that JIA is an autoimmune disease, and autoimmune basically is, so your immune system is a kind of your body's way of defending itself against infection, with bacteria or even injury. So that's why, as an example, when we have an infection, we get temperature because the immune system becomes stimulated to fight the infection. So this is how it's normally. What happens in autoimmune condition, which is in JIA, your body, what happened, that your body create inflammation in the joint when it doesn't need to. So it's a kind of like the body attacking itself, and then you end up with the inflammation, and then of course that can cause stiffness and pain. And sorry, Sally, and you said what to look for parents, what to look for in arthritis?
Yes.
Okay, so the way it presents itself, so, you know, we talked about it as with inflammation in the joint. So you look if there's any swollen joint in particular, the big joint can be sometimes easily to be picked up when there's a big swelling, in particular the knee joint, the ankle joint, fingers, wrist. But there are, we don't normally just look at our children constantly checking and comparing sizes, but there will be some other symptoms. So basically in arthritis, usually they wake up stiff in the morning and you notice your child limp in the morning or unable to walk, and usually it eases down throughout the course of the day. And of course, when it becomes, if it's untreated and if it's left for a long time, it can affect the mobility of the child. So usually first thing in the morning, but sometimes after a long car journey, also the child can feel stiff and they struggle when they leave the car, or actually sometimes at the end of the class, so it's important to pick it up, and probably the teacher will say, will tell the parents, okay, we've noticed by the end of the class that your child is limping. So this is in terms of the older children. And, you know, with the toddler, because we talked about, you know, preschool age children, it's just that things, you know, to watch the child from being able to walk normally into stop walking, or, you know, in terms of crawling, they stop crawling because it might be inflammation in the wrist, or the way they hold the spoon or the fork if the fingers are affected, or the way, you know, they move the neck. One of the things that actually can present with arthritis, and all whether parents and health professionals should always keep on the back of their mind, around 10 to 20% of children with JIA will develop inflammation in the eyes, inflammatory eye condition. It's called uveitis. What's important about it, so although it's 10 to 20%, but 50% of those 10 to 20% might have complications, significant complications that affect your sight, that your child's sight, if it's not picked up. And the issue with it, so of course, you know, when you have inflammation in the eyes in adults and older children, you know, they present with red, painful eyes. So that can be picked up. You take them to eye specialists and can diagnose it. But the type of uveitis, which is the common type of uveitis, which is inflammation of the eye that can happen in children with JI, in particular the young ones, they can present absolutely with no symptoms. You wouldn't know. So it's important for children with JIA to have, whenever any health professional, whenever they suspect JIA or juvenile idiopathic arthritis, will have to check for any evidence of eye inflammation by an eye specialist.
Now, Dr. Obeda, can you tell us more about the prevalence of juvenile arthritis here in the UAE?
Yes. So basically, in terms of the few years ago, we didn't have many data coming from the UAE, but more recent, over the last few years, definitely I came across a few papers coming from the UAE, and also from patients we treat in our hospital from the UAE. Of course, we deal with arthritis as you know, one of the commonest, our biggest cohort of patients, but also we deal with all type of inflammatory condition. You know, there are other conditions like lupus and dermatomyositis, etc. So worldwide, it can affect 1 in 1,000 1 in 1,000 child. So really, in the UAE, reading it through the papers that have been coming out, it seems it's not different from the worldwide prevalence of the JIA. And in the UAE, just like, you know, actually it's similar. The presentation is similar. The difficulties are similar worldwide. The you know, there's a misconception until a few years ago that children can't have arthritis. So they think this is it's different from rheumatoid arthritis. But actually it's important to remember that children can have arthritis. So that has been addressed, and I understand in the UAE, it's been highlighted just reading through the papers that's been coming out. The other issue with a child with arthritis, you need a multidisciplinary team. It's not only the pediatric rheumatologist. It's not only the input in terms of because this is condition, it's a chronic condition. Once you have it for life. But actually with the right treatment, you will be able to kind of enable the child to have it to be an independent adult in the future and to completely control the symptoms and to have a normal life. But what's needed is a multidisciplinary team in terms of doctors, physiotherapists, eye specialists, and sometimes even psychologists, occupational therapists. And my understanding, the UAE seems to be moving in that direction in terms of providing this multidisciplinary care for children with JIA.
Now, just take us briefly through some of the treatments that they can use, Doctor.
Yes. So basically the aim of treatment for juvenile idiopathic arthritis, I mean, there are two aspects to it, is to control the symptoms of pain and stiffness, and to enable you to lead an active life at school or college if you're a young adult, and to enable you to enjoy an active family and social life, and help you, as I mentioned, to become an independent adult in the future. So with the treatment, we have to be very careful, because you want to achieve all of this, but also you need to constantly weigh the benefit and to reduce any side effects caused by the medicine. So medication, you start, the first step is try to painkillers. So simple painkillers, whatever available, you know, Panadol, paracetamol, any brand actually that you can buy it from over the counter. This is the simplest thing. And then the next step, you move to a group of medication that not only work on the pain, but only also works on inflammation, called non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And there's a large number of, there are various ones available in the UNEs. And this is sort of just to control the symptoms and occasionally control what we call a flare-up when the symptoms get worse. And then you move into trying to control the inflammation. And the next step will be steroid. And the steroid that control inflammation, help to reduce the pain, reduce the stiffness, improve the mobility. And it can be given in different types. So you can give it orally as tablet or liquid. Or actually, there's a fairly safe way of giving it, is by injecting the joint with a steroid. You go directly into the inflamed joint and inject steroid. And this is can be they can be effective for a few months, and it's actually the injections in general are very well tolerated and cause very few side effects. Now remember, we deal with the preschool age children in that sense, or even younger than 8, younger than 9. In general, we give it under general anaesthetic, but when they are older, so young adults, it can be given just with gas and air or just local anaesthetic. And then, so we talked about controlling the symptoms and trying to control the inflammation. And now you move to the next step, which is a group of medication called disease modifying anti-rheumatic drugs. It's quite mouthful, but we call them DMARDs. What these medications do, this is a kind of medication that can be given, 2 years, 3 years, sometimes for longer. These drugs dampen down the inflammation and can reduce the joint damage. So you have to invest in the child not only now. So lots of the time you give them some treatment and, they start to get better. But you have to think about what's going to happen to the child when they're 20, when they're 30, when they're 40. So we give these medication, and it's to control the inflammation, prevent long-term side effects. And usually this medication, I always tell parents, just be careful. Usually they take around, 3 months until you start to see the difference. They take a while to start working. And by then you use the other medications I mentioned earlier. And then lots of patients with JIA would respond to what I've mentioned, so the steroid and the disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs. But there's a group of patients that is not enough, and we need to give more. So now, over the last 10 years, we have a group of medications. We call them biological therapies. And biological therapies is a name given to newer drugs, and just like DMARD, they slow down the progress of arthritis and, they reduce the pain and swelling and stiffness. And just like DMARD, the one that I talked about, that takes 3 months to start working, they work by suppressing the immune system. So they are called biological therapies. And these drugs are used if you don't respond to the DMR. So this is the main thing. And at the same time, of course, you need the other, you know, the so these are the medication use, but you need constantly to have the physiotherapist making sure the mobility is ongoing. You have the eye specialist making sure your eyes are not inflamed, because if they're inflamed, they need treatment.
Some wonderful information from you, Dr. Muthanna Al-Obaidi, pediatric rheumatology consultant at Great Ormond Street Hospital. I want to thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
That was a bit of background there from Dr. Al-Obaidi. We still also have with us here in the studio Dr. Humaira Badshah, consultant rheumatologist with over two decades of experience in the area of rheumatology and arthritis, and she is also a founding member of the board of directors at the Emirates Arthritis Foundation. We're going to come back to her after just a moment and talk about the important role of diet in treating arthritis.
Dubai Today.
Few moments, last few seconds with Dr. Badshah. She is consultant rheumatologist and founding member of the board of directors at the Emirates Arthritis Foundation. We're talking arthritis today. Lots of questions came in for you, Dr. Badshah. This one from Alan, saying, I'm a 57-year-old Caucasian male, probably 10 kilos overweight, and for the last few months when I get up in the morning, I hobble for the first 5 meters. There is no pain, just stiffness in the ankles. And he says, I go to the gym for 45 minutes every morning.
So generally, just stiffness by itself for less than 15-20 minutes is not a worrisome thing, especially if you have no pain or swelling. So I wouldn't worry too much. I would just make sure that you stretch enough before and after exercise. That's all. I would not worry about arthritis in the situation.
Okay. Just in the last few seconds of the show, just in terms of the importance of diet and supplements when we're talking about arthritis, preventing it, treating it.
Yes, so it's really important, first of all, to maintain a healthy body weight. Vitamin D is essential, not only in osteoarthritis, but also to prevent autoimmune diseases. Omega-3, not omega-369, at doses of about 1,000 milligrams per day. But more important, it's very important to have a plant-based diet. I'm not saying vegetarian, vegan, eating meat is okay, but not too much red meat, but a lot of fresh vegetables and fruit, because these maintain the healthy bacteria in your gut. And the gut microbiome is so important to maintaining your immune system. Many studies have been shown that going to Mediterranean diets alters the gut microbiome in rheumatoid arthritis patients and can help alleviate symptoms and put people into disease remission. So eating a lot of healthy foods and don't have anything processed, artificial colors, preservatives, sugar, all that has to go.
So we're talking about the fresh fruits and vegetables. Olive oil, is that a good
thing?
Olive
oil. So a Mediterranean diet is mostly fresh vegetables and fruits, fish a few times a week, very little red meat, olive oil and nuts. So this is what you should be eating. You should eliminate grain as much as possible. There are some schools of thought which says you should eliminate dairy. But if you do eliminate dairy, make sure you get a calcium supplement. And also eliminating gluten may be a good choice. Many of our patients improve on a sugar, dairy and gluten-free diet. So more studies have to be done to support this. But, you know, you should definitely look at these diets.
Thank you so much. I want to thank Dr. Humaira Badshah, consultant rheumatologist and founding member of the board of directors at the Emirates Arthritis Foundation. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you to everybody who texted in and who was part of the discussion.
This is Dubai Today.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.